I could just ask, we've got a little panel, which includes Katrine Blatchley. Where's Katrine? Please come on up. Nathan, Eleanor, and Stephen. Where are we here? All right, great. And we're just creating a bit of a space here. I'm afraid you're going to have to come right up, Katrine. Right in the front. Come, all of you, right up front here. So we thought it would be a great idea, and they did agree to do this, that we have a little bit of an interview panel. If I could just ask where the other two mics are, could you just give them the two mics between them, then they can pass them around in response. I know it does feel, we tried to work out, so this is sort of like your TV, sort of sitting in an armchair's kind of interview, sort of flowing, but we couldn't quite work that here. We couldn't get any armchairs, and we couldn't work it out with the... Anyway, so this is what we've got. So I'm your interviewer, and I'm delighted. So I'd just like to say we've got... Well, Katrine Blatchley was one of the founding members with John, her husband, passed away some many years now. Stephen Bick was grew up in the community and is Tom and Claire's son. That's great. Nathan and Eleanor, Nathan from originally from Northern Ireland here, came here to work and been around for the last 4 years. Son, Eleanor, he's originally from Northern Ireland. And Eleanor from Wales, who came here as a student and met us through Koinonia, our student outreach, which used to be called the University Christian Outreach, or UCR. Katrine.
Yes.
Great. Just grab a mic. Short. So they have had a few questions to sort of prepare, but this is... We don't do this very often, so if they feel a little awkward... Katrine, I mean, really, what were your first impressions when you heard about this community thing? What was the thing that struck you first about trying to do Christian community?
I loved it. I just loved it. John went to Brussels. And Father Pat said, oh, if you go to Brussels, you've got to go to the community. So John went to the community, and then he phoned me, and he said, Cato, that's for us. And I said, yeah, but you're in Brussels, and here. And he said, but they're coming down. And I said, yes. I loved
That's
it.
Great. That's
I
great.
Loved it.
Eleanor, what about you? What were your first impressions? Because you're younger.
Only slightly.
Sorry, Katrine. You're all right with that.
So I was around Koinonia for about a year before I came along to an Antioch meeting. And so I then went to the anniversary weekend away in September in Northampton. So that was one of my first events, Antioch events, thrown in the deep end. But my most prominent kind of memory or impression from that weekend is that I couldn't figure out whose kid was whose in the best way, in that all the children were running around, clearly very comfortable, and every adult that they either ran into or stopped to talk to was treating them like one of their own. And there was a real sense of just, this is a big, big family, all in one place together. And that was, yeah.
That's right. Well, let's move to the other end. And Stephen, I suspect your first impressions were rather different from the others.
It's a little hard to unentangle my first impressions of Antioch and the rest of my life, because I grew up in the community. I do have a first impression of non-Antioch things, which is when I remember seeing some of my friends at school and the amount of TV they were able to watch. I remember going to my parents and saying, all these other families can do this and this and this. And my dad would always say, we're not like other families. And that was true.
dodgy. Very good. Well, that drives me again. Katrine. There must have been. Well, we'll come back to it. He'll have his moment. Don't worry. Right. He had his moment anyway. Another okay. Katrine, there must have been some funny first moments, weren't there? Do you remember any sort of, what's the funny things you remember happening? Anything that's striking you? If it doesn't, then we'll just move to the man next to you straight away.
No.
No funny things ever.
What? At the
funny experiences when you were involved with Antioch? Or... No.
No, I mean, the thing that... Teresa talked about yesterday, you know, that big weekend where we were all sleeping in the same room, all the girls, and we were not little teenage, you know, and all the men, and they were not little teenage either. And Sylvia saying, oh, this bed is disgusting, I'm going to sleep on the floor. And she did.
Well, very good, very good. Nathan, really. Please, you must have had some funny experiences.
I've got too many.
He's a professional.
So I've got one story. I've got a couple of stories, but I'll say one. It was when I lived in household here in London, and we had a few gabbers come visit us. And one brother, who will remain nameless, basically went out to the brother's house for the night, went to go see them, and then was staying at our house. But he forgot to take a spare key. And he landed back at the house after everyone had gone to bed and locked the door. But instead of ringing someone or ringing the doorbell or knocking the door, he thought, oh, I'll sleep on their roof. Because we had a flat bit at the back of the roof. And so he goes and he sleeps there. And we wake up about 4 in the morning with someone banging the door down. We open up and there is their said brother, absolutely drenched because a downpour had come out and he'd been on top of the roof. That's just one memory. I knew at that point, I was like, household is just nuts. So,
household, a profound experience. And I think I'll keep on you a little bit.
All right.
You've almost got into the area, but let me just follow up. Anything you'd describe as more as a challenge or a strange thing about community as you were getting involved?
When I got involved with community, my first involvement was actually doing a mission year. So I went straight to America without any experience of community or anything. I connected him through the brothers, Doug Smith, who had been known to many of us, and he invited me to go do a gap year in Grand Rapids. So there, had a great year, and then moved to London to work for a church in the Church of England in Southall, so just a little bit west of here. And I found, and I still find actually, the balance of church commitment to community a really difficult thing. Particularly for me, I grew up a son of a vicar who'd always been involved in church, had been doing, you know, everything I could in the youth fellowship or playing on the church football team or whatever it was, to then leading worship in church, to then having another commitment which almost demanded as much. And you're meant to try and balance that. I found that very difficult initially, and still do.
I'm going to come back to you, let me just see you. Maybe Eleanor, you tell us, what was something strange and challenging or changing in your experience of getting involved in community? It's looking dodgy.
I think the main thing was that charismatic worship as a thing was fairly new to me when I first came around. And I don't remember any particular struggle with it. And I mean, I'm still here, so I clearly dealt with it fine. and I think the more I experienced the Lord in it, the more I grew to love it. But initially, there was a bit of a familiarity gap in that.
Interesting. Stephen? Nothing strange or challenging for your side?
I'm going to have to pass that one. I feel like it's all kind of... It's too normal for me because I grew up in it.
It's too normal. Yeah. Okay, right. Very good, very good. Well, let's... Catherine. There must have been... You've been in the community now for over 40 years.
From the very beginning.
From the very, 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 very beginning. Exactly. Thank you. Have you seen... Has anything changed? Or is it just as it was when you joined? I mean, I look at that slideshow that we had on the beginning... They looked different back 40 years ago.
Well, we were different.
Were you?
Oh, yeah, please. I was. I had black hair. No. Yes, things have changed. Oh, they've changed, yes. Yeah. And in a good way. In a good way, you know. Oh. I mean, we've grown. We've grown.
Ah, very good.
Yeah. Oh.
Stephen, are you anything from your side there? Have you got any thoughts?
I think one change that I see is when I was growing up, there was a sense that there was a bunch of us who were kind of like a wave cresting a little, maybe a year or two younger than me, where there was a lot of youth growing up in the community together. And that was my experience, is that I had lots of friends who were my age or a few years older or younger. And now the experience is that many of those people are still around, but there's also a lot of people who've come in through Koinonia or YPO. And I still have a lot of friends in the community who are within a few years of me, but a lot of them are people who have joined through our outreaches and are now making commitments to Antioch and joining Antioch.
Yeah, great. Nathan, I wondered if you could tell us a little bit about some of the blessings you've experienced of being around the Antioch circuit in the last number of years.
Well, one thing which was highlighted last night by John was just being able to worship alongside people from different denominations. Yeah. It's something that, being from Northern Ireland and being from very rural Northern Ireland, where it tends to be 100% Protestant town to then a 100% Catholic town, and there's about 2 miles between them, and you never sort of see anyone cross over. I sort of grew up in that, so never got the chance to actually pray or worship with a Roman Catholic or anything like that. So that has been a huge blessing for me. Another blessing has been my wife's pointing at herself going. But yeah, that's a huge blessing.
That's great. Eleanor,
good friends.
Eleanor, quickly, move on.
Blessings. Two, maybe to highlight. I think one, kind of picking up on what Stephen was saying about having such a big peer group, people my own age who are following the Lord, trying to follow the Lord as best as we can, especially at the moment because my church doesn't really have that peer group. There's me and one other guy of my age, or even one other person in our 20s with the two people at church. So having that peer group in Antioch is a massive blessing at the moment. I think the second thing is the fact that I'm away from my family when I'm in London, but that doesn't really seem to matter. I have numerous families that I have kind of imposed myself upon, and they have accepted very graciously. but being able to still enjoy family life without my own family being here is a massive blessing.
Yeah, thank you. Katrine, I suppose 40 years, there must be something to say.
The blessings. Well, it's just the moving into the Lord with all of them and who have gone and all of you. And particularly when John died, I don't know what I would have done. And that, in fact, has been my greatest blessing in a way, because John going... And the Lord had put me with all of you. And the community was fantastic in being so gentle and allowing me to just be. And the big hole that created that departure has been filled up by the Lord. And I don't think it would have happened without.
Amen. Thank you. Stephen, now, you grew up in this community. That doesn't mean it's natural just to hang around. Why would one hang around? Really, it's your parents' thing, isn't it?
Yeah, and that was a big part in my teenage years, especially of trying to work out what is my role in this community? What's my identity here? A big thing that helped for me were people like Phil Morrison, who I see in the front row there. People who came to do gap years here, or people who were coming to live with the brothers and who are a little bit older than me and had a big impact on my life. That had a huge effect on me, as did getting involved in our wider movement in the region, in Kairos events for young people. That was a really big help to me. Yeah.
Okay, that's great. That's very good. Stephen, just while I've got you up there, do you think there's any blessings that Antioch offers to the wider body of Christians around in London? Are there other things?
Yeah, so two things. One is stability in London, which is a very changing city. The people in Antioch who are members of local churches are often very involved in those churches and are really helpful sort of rooting points for those people. Also, Christian Unity, we're very active in Christian Unity in Acton and in the wider area. I think that has a huge effect around it.
Eleanor, have you thoughts the wider impact? Or maybe that has a... Not really, that's fine. Nathan, have you got something?
I think, building on what Stephen said, is that Antioch has it's got a great culture of discipleship and people growing in the Lord. And then those people are planted into churches and then are bringing that into their churches, which helps people in their churches grow. I've experienced it, and I've experienced being used in that way.
Yes.
And I think that just really helps the church grow, really helps the people grow and grow closer to the Lord.
Amen. Amen. Katrine, would you have anything to... you don't have to. Anything to add just to the wider impact of Antioch around? If there's anything
No, not really.
That's fine. That's great. Well, thank you so much for all of you. Thank you very much for being on stage. We give them a round of applause. And thank you very much. We could just put the mics down there on the seat for the moment. We're going to hear from Bruce Yoakam in a few minutes. But in the meantime, why don't we stand and let's just give worship to the Lord in a song. Just thank him for his goodness to us, his ongoing goodness. And you've heard some more blessings. Let's thank him for those blessings and the ones we've got currently or you know of that haven't been stated. Let's thank him for that.